The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us continue in prayer. God of mercy and grace, of love and everlasting hope, we praise you this morning as we gather surrounded by not only one another, not only your Holy Spirit, but by a cloud of witnesses, of those who have gone before us and even now are cheering for us, that we might listen to your life-giving word. And believing, we might follow their example, your example, and walk on the pathway of life, leading and encouraging others as well as we go. Grant us ears to hear this morning, even in the midst of our tears. Help us to hear your voice, that we might be comforted and by your grace led forward to run the race of faith. We pray in the name of our living Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been quite a year. 32 names will be read in a few moments around the table of members of our congregation, people deeply connected to us who have passed away. And of course, those 32 are only a portion of those connected to us. Husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, grandparents, sons, daughters, friends who have passed away this year and in years previously. Death is a reality and a painful one. And this year, more than most, I suppose, certainly that truth has been reinforced for us. We come to All Saints Sunday mindful of the reality of death and of the pain, the grief that is a part of that. In today's gospel lesson, we find the truth that our God is one who doesn't watch our tears from a distance, but comes and walks with us through the valleys of our lives and mourns and grieves with us. John chapter 11 is the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. But that's only a little piece of the whole chapter. It begins with Jesus having left Judea, where this little village of Bethany is, where his dear friends Martha and Mary and Lazarus live. He's gone back to Galilee. His life has been threatened. And he hears the news that his friend Lazarus is on the verge of dying. And Jesus waits. He stays in Galilee knowing that were he to go to Judea, he could heal Lazarus, but he, for God's mysterious purposes, chooses not to go yet. And when in today's passage he actually comes toward Bethany, he's right on the outskirts of the village of Bethany. Martha first has come to visit him. The sister of Lazarus has come to visit him out on the outskirts and has talked to him about the fact that had he been there, he could have healed her brother, but he wasn't there. And Jesus says, I'm still the resurrection and the life, you know. You can still believe. And she says, I do, I believe. And she goes back to tell her sister Mary. And today's passage begins as Mary comes out to the outskirts of town and meets up with Jesus. And the text says, When Mary came to the place where Jesus was, she knelt down before him and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her crying, and the Jews who had come with her also crying, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. I'm going to stop there for now. Jesus began to weep. Have you heard those words? In most translations, it's only two words. Jesus wept. And if you're thinking about memorizing a verse out of the Bible, that's a great one to start with. Not only because it's the shortest verse in the Bible, but even more so because it tells us so much about this God whom we worship. We're told in the Scriptures that Jesus is the fullest, ultimate revelation of the character, the person of God in all that there is. Hebrews tells us that we've been told about who God is through the Scriptures and through a myriad of different ways, but most fully through Jesus Christ. The fullness of God is pleased to dwell in him. And here we see that Jesus wept. Jesus knows that how long will it be? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? A half an hour before he gets to the tomb? He knows that Lazarus is going to rise from the dead. He knows that, and he still cries. The pain of death, of separation, of seeing loved ones go through difficulty, this grieves the heart of God. And what a message it is for us about the character of God and how God walks with us through the valleys of our lives. No platitudes from Jesus. No, everything will be okay. He's in a better place. Don't cry. He doesn't say any of that. He cries. And what a gift those tears are to Mary and to us today. It's okay to cry. It's okay to follow the example of Jesus. It's okay not to have any words to say to somebody who's struggling. It's okay just to be there with them and to know that God is there with them and with you too. This is incredibly good news, isn't it? That God is grieved by the fact of death in our world, that he cares so much that he came into our world, in fact, to walk with us and to cry with us and to die for us and to rise for us. God cares that much. He's not some distant God who sits off far away and has set things in motion and just watches from a distance. He's a God who comes in and walks with us and sits down with us and cries with us, even though he knows that resurrection is a fact. The text goes on. Jesus began to cry. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some said, "Could not he who gave sight to the blind have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said to them, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to Martha, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. He said to them, unbind him and let him go. So many of the Jews who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
They believed in him. And of course, that's the point of the story. That's the point of this sign that Jesus does. That's the point of the whole gospel of John, is that they would and we would believe, even in the midst of the tears, that we would believe the truth that we are loved, that the God who created us is with us, and will see us through even the darkest of valleys. He will bring us to life in all of its fullness. We can believe this even in the midst of the tears. Jesus believed it in the midst of his tears. Martha came to believe it in the midst of her tears, and she took that next step. She had them roll away, take away the stone. And of course, that's what belief means in the scriptures, in the Gospel of John. The belief that we're called to is not just an abstract kind of a faith where we say, yeah, I believe in that, and we go on doing whatever it is that we want to do, we think it's normal to do, we think makes sense to us. It's to do what God calls us to do, even when it seems crazy. Even when it seems like there's no way it can lead to hope or to life or to goodness, even when we think it's just going to make a bigger mess, a bigger stink of things, we listen for Jesus' word. And in the midst of the grief, in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of the uncertainty, in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of it all, we believe enough to take our next step in obedience to his word. Knowing that if we believe, we will see the glory of God. And isn't that the truth? That it's in those little steps we take? It's when we participate with God in his action in the world that we get these glimpses of the glory of God, his presence in our midst, in our relationships. Crying even when cancer is breaking into our lives or into our homes, crying and knowing Christ cries with us, but stepping forward in obedience, trusting his word and his love. When the tentacles of death are breaking into our world through our broken relationships, through the wars that are taking place, through the poverty, through it all, we know that God grieves with us and calls us to such faith that we will take action, maybe in small ways, but opening up the flow of God's presence and God's love into those dark places in our world. And so this morning, as we gather around this table and we think of those who have gone before us, and we even cry We grieve for their loss, our loss of them, not their loss, their gain. May we be encouraged by these witnesses, by Martha and Mary and so many others, to believe even in the midst of our tears, and to step forward in faith, to live every moment God gives us, however many or few they may be, but to live believing, listening, and stepping forward in faith. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, as we gather around this, your holy table, we lift up our praise and our thanks, for we know you are here. And we know that in your living presence, all of your loved ones are here, present, united in you. Those who have gone long before us and those who will come after us, Lord God, alive because of the grace of this table. Help us to believe, Lord Jesus, and to receive your grace this morning. Help us to believe this morning and to entrust our loved ones to your eternal care. Help us to believe this morning and step forward from this, your holy table, to live by faith to the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the Lord's table. And Jesus invites all who trust him to come and to receive his grace. And we're mindful, even as we gather today around the table here, that a day is coming when we will gather at Christ's table in his coming kingdom. All of us will gather to proclaim God's praise forever. Would you stand as we remember those who have gone before us? God of the resurrection, as we gather at your table to worship and celebrate your grace, we praise you for all your saints who have walked this life in faith and now live eternally with you. And we especially remember before you Joyce Anderson,
Ray Anderson,
Ruby Angle,
Norma Arneson,
Niles Batdorf,
Verna Bengston,
Audrey Berglund,
Glenn Bjorklund,
James Brand,
Joan Brandt,
Marilyn Carlson,
Richard Carlson,
Erland Eckberg,
Patricia Evenson,
Edna Georges,
Irene Haglund,
Alice Hawkinson,
Bryce Intveld,
Jeanette Janicek,
Harriet Johnson,
John Lamprecht,
Robert Maxton,
Carl Nelson,
Eleanor Paul,
Alan Peterson,
Bernice Peterson,
Brian Peterson,
Karen Peterson,
James Radesky,
Mark Schoblum,
Richard Schoblum,
Virginia Wickland.
And Lord, we also remember before you others whom we did not mention, but whom we deeply love and for whom we are eternally grateful. Let us lift up those who are on our hearts and minds now. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.